The Crossman Conversation brought to you today by Community Legal Services, Maynard Cooper, Frontier Partners, First Horizon Bank, Florida Blue, and R-Squared Solutions.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Mike, I got to talk to you real quick.
All right, man.
Listen,
Bring it on.
Listen, I got this story for you. Real quick story before we get started. So I got invited to an event from a buddy of mine who works at the city. And so I go to this, it's a big event. It's like all these tables and it's that First Baptist kind of stuff. And I get there and I check in and I said, what table am I at? And the lady says, oh, your table 25. So I walk in and I go to table 25. Near the kitchen, not too bad, right? In the back, it's fine. So I sit at this table and I'm all by myself. And, you know, it's nice. You know, it's table 8 by myself and be kind of lonely in a big room, but that's okay. And so then my friend calls me. He's like, Crossman, where are you? And I said, well, I'm at table 25. He's like, you're not at table 25. You're at table 7. Wow, table 7. Mm-hmm. That's on the front row. So I go to my table, and on my right is Commissioner Regina Hill, and she's my buddy. And at my left is Commissioner Robert Stewart. He's my buddy. And then next to him is Commissioner Brocky Burns, who's also my buddy. So here, I don't know what I'm doing at this table, right? It's ridiculous. I'm at this table. Very nice people in this big, big event. It's really super cool. And so they go through all these things. And I tell you what, I think they had 24 different speakers or something going on.
Wow.
This event. It was a big deal, right?
Yeah.
And the mayor spoke at it. But then they had the highlight, the thing at the event, the top award-winning person they were honoring. And when they honored this person, former principal, legendary author, educator and stuff, the commissioner next to me, Regina Hill, says, that's my principal. And then Barackie Burns, the other commissioner, says, that's my principal. I'm like, this is crazy. Get out of here. That person they honored is our guest today.
All
that
right.
is who our guest today is. Can you believe that?
That's funny.
Dr.
That's
Clara Walters, who is an author and an educator. Thank you for being here with us today on the Crossman Conversation.
I'm quite delighted to be with you today.
Oh my gosh. It's so wonderful. So let's talk about this. You have had a long, successful career in education. So talk to us about, just in general, first off, your thoughts about the importance of education in our community in Central Florida.
Education is very important. I am who I am because of education. I was raised in a small community, an agricultural town, but back in those days, it was the days of segregation. Schools were separated. But our schoolhouse and our church houses, those were our beacons of hope. And education was taught to us as the great equalizer. The resources were short, but the service from the educators was not short. And I am an educator because of my English teacher. I wanted to be like her so much that I went to college and became an English teacher.
Wow.
Did not know I would end up being an administrator. But that foundation, that education, is what led me to the field. And so I feel it's very, very important.
Well, it's interesting. When I was in high school, and I was an okay student, believe me, Dr. Well, I tried really hard. And I didn't learn until years later that I'm dyslexic, but we didn't know that back then. And I took a speech class and it just blew me away. And then I did debate, and that teacher saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And so it went on that, like, as I got older, I did more and more public speaking. And years later, I wrote him a note and we stayed in touch. And a couple years ago, he passed away and his widow asked me to come give his eulogy. And so I did. And I just can't agree with you more that when you have somebody see something in you, you don't see in yourself, it's oxygen and it's life-changing, correct?
Absolutely. And I was raised when you didn't have all the labels on children that we have now.
Right.
I was never told I was at risk. I was always treated as if I was that promise of greatness.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I have tried to carry forth and pay it back all the years I've been associated with education, to help children to see and understand you're not limited because of a label that someone gives you.
I gotcha. Talk to me about, you have had this exceptional career, and sometimes people have great careers and they're short. Sometimes they have great careers and they don't always get acknowledged, and you've had an exceptional career and you've been acknowledged. How does that feel to sort of see people like Commissioner Hill, Commissioner Burns, the mayor, and really acknowledge you and what you've done? How does that feel?
Well, that's what keeps me going. Looking back at all of the young people's lives that I've had an opportunity to impact,
mm-hmm.
keeps me still trying to do education, and just about to be 80 years old.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Don't look at
those experiences keep me thinking young if I'm not young. So I have spent my life since I have retired training other school leaders how to restore hope, especially in schools in the African American community. And that's what I wrote about in my book, Restoring Leadership That Restores Hope in Schools in the African American Community.
Well, I want to talk about that one second, but I just want to say this first, because this was just so cool. Commissioner Regina Hill and I are buddies. I mean, when we see each other, we hug each other. I'm a fan of hers. Her story is amazing, things that she's gone through and overcome, and the passion she has and the service she does. I am a fan of her, right? We took a selfie together when we were at the uh-huh. breakfast. And when she said to me privately, and she said that you coach her, that you guys meet and you coach her. And I
yes.
thought, man, who do you know is going back and she's an established, significant leader in this community, mm-hmm. and she's getting coaching. I mean, that's cool, I think, itself. And then it's you, that her former principal is meet with her, and you are still pouring into a high-level senior leader in a community. That's pretty awesome.
Yes. Well, they know... I keep up with a lot of my students on Facebook.
Okay.
And I respond often. I said to a group of them just this week that don't have to come to the principal's office, okay? Because I'm watching.
I love it. Well, you know, that means that you care and you're vested, and that's real. So I do want to talk about your book. I'm grabbing it real quick here, Mike. So we'll make sure I read this right. So your book's called Leadership That Restores Hope in Public Schools in the African-American Community. And so I actually have this book, and I've read it. I thought it was fantastic. So just give us a quick sort of summation. What's the concept? What's the message you're trying to get out through this book?
The message I'm trying to get out through this book is that a combination of motivation, inspiration, education, what we teach and how we teach it, directions and correction will make any school great.
Mike, isn't she great to listen to? I could just I want her as my teacher. I know.
Yeah.
I want her just to be my teacher right now.
Yeah, right.
So, so good. So tell me let me back up. How were you inspired to write this? What caused you to in your 70s to write this book? Why?
I wanted to use my experiences coming through the education system. At the bottom of the cover of the book, it says, told through the experiences of an educator from segregation to desegregation and now resegregation.
Hmm.
And what I wanted people to hear and understand, I grew up in segregation. I started my teaching under segregation. My second year of teaching, I came to Orange County, and I was one of the first two teachers to integrate Oak Ridge High School in 1967.
Wow.
And the rest of my teaching career was at Oak Ridge.
Hmm.
That's where I was identified as a school leader.
Hmm.
And from that experience, I went on to be one of the early one of the first three females to be assistant principal at the secondary level. Mm-hmm. It's always dominated by men. So I was one of the three first ladies to be assistant principal at secondary level. And then from there, I became the first female, I'm told, to principal the secondary school after 5 years as an assistant principal. I was assistant at Wymore Career Education Center in Edenville, at Oak Ridge High School, and West Orange High School prior to my first principalship. So I have lots of experiences. So when I became a principal, that was my first time going back to my community to lead schools.
Wow.
I found a very different kind of school when I got back. But knowing what my community and their parents wanted, I knew that I could make the difference in those two schools. We have to stop giving kids everything they want and give them what they need. That's what I mean by giving them directions and not being afraid to correct when it's time for correction.
Oh, man. I love this. We're going to need to take a quick break. I want to say this, Dr. Walters. One of the things is, like, you are this wonderful combination of educated life experience, wisdom, and it's such a treasure to have you here with us in our community. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back at the Crossman Conversation.
Did you know you may still qualify for 2023 health coverage? Life can happen unexpectedly, so don't let life changes stop you from getting the health coverage you deserve. Call an exclusive Florida Boot agent to see if you qualify for a special enrollment period. 1-877-352-5830. That's 1-877-352-5830. Policies have limitations and exclusions.
Are you willing to serve communities in crisis around the world? To people who are impoverished, oppressed, and persecuted? Frontier Partners International offers mission opportunities in areas least served to meet the needs of the helpless, the hapless, and hopeless. To learn how you can be a partner of this frontline ministry with your time, talent, or treasure, visit frontier-partners.org. That's frontier-partners.org.
Managing a team that has a lack of accountability and effective communication can be frustrating. Bill Roto-Rooter can help you build a cohesive team and a collaborative work environment. As a retired commander of the Navy's premier training system and research development organization, Roto has the experience to help you build trust and a high-performing team as you navigate high-pressure situations. To schedule a complimentary call with Roto, go to rotospeaks.com and complete the form and put the Crossman Conversation in the message field.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
I'd like to thank Maynard Cooper and Gale, PC, for being a sponsor of our program. Maynard is a full-service law firm with over 350 attorneys and 14 offices nationally who serve with professional excellence in everything from corporate and business matters to day-to-day legal issues. The office in Central Florida focuses its practice in real estate, corporate transactions and organization, banking and finance, along with trust and estates. To learn more, visit MaynardCooper.com.
Community Legal Services is a civil legal aid organization providing no-cost legal help to the underserved. They call it Legal Aid for All. Their attorneys assist with legal issues related to family law, housing, domestic violence, veterans' benefits, and much more. Community Legal Services is a community-supported program. To learn more and help support the mission, visit clsmf.org. That's clsmf.org. Community Legal Services, Legal Aid for All.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
We're back at the Crossman Conversation with a national treasure that lives in Central Florida, and that's Dr. Clara Walters, who's an educator and an author, and we're talking about her book, leadership that restores hope in public schools and the African American community. So I want to just ask you just a few questions, and I just want your response. So if a young teacher that's teaching in a predominantly African American student base in a public school, what advice would you give them if they said, hey, Dr. Walters, I'm going to start this new job in this school. What do I need to know to help impact these kids the best?
You have to have the skills of a good teacher first.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, you have to have what I call the C factor.
Hmm. Go on.
Conviction. You got to believe that those children can learn.
Hmm.
Compassion, not pity, because compassion helps you to do something about situations, not say, oh, those poor kids, those poor people. The best thing that we can do is give African American children a good education.
That's right.
You have to have the courage to give directions and corrections. You have to be candid. You have to have character. You have to be culturally sensitive. And you have to have be a catalyst of cooperation. So I try to help young teachers with training. You see, when I became principal of Jones High School, my faculty was 87% white.
Hmm.
And so when I got there, many of them came in during the summer to tell me all about what the district didn't do for us and to tell me all the things that would keep us from doing our jobs. So I listened all summer, but in pre-planning, that's where I started to plant my seeds that, dog, you all have taken our line as to what we don't have. I said, tell you what, we're going to maximize what we have, and then I'll go and get some more. But I don't believe in pouring money in a sifter.
That's right.
And those were great years. Everybody lined up behind me because I had training for the teachers all the time because our student body was 97% black and the faculty 87% white because we were under the court order for desegregating the public schools in Orange County.
Hmm.
So that relationship showed me what actual training would do from someone with the experience and the background to give small trainings all the time, not bringing in someone nationally to do a big training and they are gone. But I could work with my teachers all the time.
It's so fascinating because you're so strong and you're so confident, and yet you seem to absolutely have empathy and that you can look at anybody that was working underneath you, whatever their story was, you were able to connect to them and see value in them and help them become better at what they're doing. That's very powerful.
Yes.
That's strong. That's strong. So if I were to fill this, fill a room here with a bunch of different middle-aged white CEOs, and they're good ones, okay? They're not bad ones. They're good ones, right? And they looked at you and they said, how can we help? What would you say to people in the business community about how could they help the public school system, particularly in the African-American community? What would you tell them?
I would tell them to, first of all, let us tell you what's wrong with us before you start fixing us. Too many things are given to African-Americans with good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
But you haven't asked us anything about what we need. What would make the difference?
Mm.
We assume. And then we start giving out based on the characteristics that you have come up with for us. For example, in for many African-American students, they have all these labels.
Mm.
And if you're raised with all of these labels, you begin to feel that I can't do. I can't beat this.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe in working with young people as well as families,
mm-hmm.
and teach them. You have to be a great teacher also. So we want help from business people who have things to offer, but business people need to learn from those of us who know and have the experiences.
So if somebody's listening to this and they're a business leader, and we people across the country, so they may be in another state, and they may be in Cincinnati, they may be in, you know, LA or something like that. And they may think, gosh, there's this predominantly Black high school in my community, and I want to help them. Step one would be reach out to the principal and say, what are your needs? And listen.
Yes.
Listen. And make sure you really understand what the need is, and then take a relationship approach to help out and support what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
Oh, man, I'm really nervous. I hate repeating things back because I want to get a bad grade because there's so much wisdom there. So that's powerful. Is there anything else you think that, let's just talk about politicians. Like if you had a group of politicians in this room and they're dealing with funding and all kinds of, we got all kinds of crazy education discussions that come up. You know what I'm talking about. So what advice would you say them to, like, to political people in power when they're making any kind of recommendations on funding or education? What would you want them to know?
People in power. One of the subjects that's being tossed around today is a good example. Think about if you never teach Black children that there were heroes mm-hmm. in their past.
Mm-hmm.
And teach them about those heroes, then you're motivating, you're inspiring
mm-hmm.
them to greatness.
Right.
But if I never hear the good about me, and I hear only what's on the 6 o'clock news about me, then you think all Black folk are bad.
Mm-hmm.
All Black folk don't have initiative, the list is long, what you will feel. But if I know my history, and I know that we have been contributors to the American way, that we helped build America, and we need to point that out, that there were people with even less. Think about Black Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
There were people who had so much less than what we have today and did great things. Because they believed they could.
I, Dr. Walters, I love history. I love watching movies about history and studying history. I just love it. And one of the most exciting things ever happened to me was last summer. I got to meet Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt's granddaughter. And that was really cool. I got a picture with her. I felt like I'm talking to history. Like, there's no American that wouldn't know who the Roosevelts were. Right? That's a huge thing. Why did I meet her? I met her because I had the deep generational honoring, such a huge in my family, to be the unveiling of the Mary McLeod Bethune statue in the U.S. Capitol. And why she was there was because the Roosevelts loved her.
Yes.
And so, you know, when we think, to your, that's your point. Mary McLeod Bethune, absolutely one of the greatest Floridians. There's no debate about that. And to know that also the first painting of a Black woman in the state capitol building in South Carolina is Mary McLeod Bethune, right? So this is a person who had immense impact all across our nation. And I still meet many Floridians who went through the public school system, don't know who she is. She's a powerful person. As a Christian, I admire her so much, right? And so as a father of two daughters, a woman, right? So there's so much that comes out of that that's really positive and inspiring,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. When I integrated the faculty of Oak Ridge High School, what if all of my white students, because at that time, all of my students were white in my classes.
Right.
What if they had never had the experience of Clara Walters teaching them or someone like her? Then they developed a whole different kind of respect
mm-hmm.
for an African-American teacher because they got to experience it and didn't have to go by what they had heard, that we were not equal. There was a time we were not even paid equal pay.
Oh. That's awful. That's awful. Well, when I visualize that, what hits my brain is these young white students loving you and respecting you.
Absolutely.
And feeling loved by this black woman, and that their whole lives, for them to then have that perspective whenever they saw an injustice, it helped them, that helps step into that.
Yes.
So it goes both ways, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It goes absolutely both ways. That's awesome. We're going to have to wrap up. I just want you to know, in the biggest part of my heart, I have tears almost welling up. I'm so grateful to have the time with you. You are Mary McLeod Bethune today, and I'm just so grateful to have the time with you. So thank you for being here very much.
And thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's such an honor. And we're going to promote your book, and I hope everyone that hears this will read it and invest in it. And I hope that they'll be inspired to do some things like you, which is become educators or be kind and loving and supportive of the educators in our community.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much. Dr. Clara Walters, educator, author, and just a game changer in our community. Thank you for being on the Crossman Conversation. This is John Crossman. And as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.